So how is everybody?
We are all
So how is your spiritual life doing?
Very fast.
You're on a fast track.
Super bike.
You're on a fast track or jet set track?
Super fast.
Super fast. Very good. So today, which chapter we are supposed to do? 12. And the 12th chapter is... No, 11 we are skipping. So out of like the first day, we did the first six chapters. Then the second day we did the 7th chapter. Third day we did the 9th chapter. And fourth day we did 10th chapter. Today, the fifth day, we'll do the 12th chapter. And tomorrow we'll do the 18th chapter and conclude the Bhagavad Gita. Now that doesn't mean that we are concluding Bhagavad Gita. That means you are going to begin your Bhagavad Gita. I am simply leading you to that, generating the interest for you, creating the interest for you. But who will have to work? Do I have to work for you? Or you have to work for yourself. Very good. Chandrasekhar, it's your microphone. You know, the simple thing will be just take a rubber band and wrap it around. It's all right. So the 12th chapter is considered to be very, very important chapter. Actually, all chapters are important, but they are relatively absolute consideration. That this 12th chapter, Prabhupada described 12th chapter as devotional service. Just devotional service in itself is the 12th chapter. Arjun saw the universal form. 11th chapter described the universal form of the Lord, the way Arjun saw the universal form. But Arjun was perturbed seeing that universal form. He was afraid. He felt that this is too fearsome, frightening. So he requested Krishna to show his two-armed form. And because that two-armed form is his friend. So Krishna transformed into four-armed and then two-armed form. And at the so at the 12th chapter begins Arjuna's questioning Arjuna Ubacha Evang Satata Yuktaje Bhaktastang Parjupashate Je Chapak Sharam Abhyaktang Teshanke Yogavittama. Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect, those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman or unmanifest? Brahman, the unmanifested. So very relevant question. So this is, through this question, this impersonalism is smashed. Arjun asked this question, and through this question, impersonalism, that is, some people think that the impersonal aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is superior. Do you know what is the impersonalism? There are two types of impersonalism. Positive impersonalism and negative impersonalism. Now, positive impersonalism is okay. It's one stage of understanding. That impersonal, Brahma Jyoti, is impersonal. But that is not the end. They are open. That beyond that impersonal aspect of the Lord, there is something higher, something superior. And when they become exposed to that, they accept it. For example, Sukadeva Goswami at the beginning was an impersonalist. But then, he was an impersonalist, but then he became a devotee. When he understood that beyond that impersonalism, impersonal aspect, there is a personal aspect of the Lord. Similarly, the four Kumaras at the beginning were impersonalists, but then they became devotees. So, that is a positive impersonalism, which is known as Brahmavad. But there is a negative impersonalism, which was established by Shankaracharya in the form of Mayavad or Kevaladvaitavad or Brahma or Vivartavad. Briefly, that is the negative impersonalism, what Shankaracharya established. You see, Brahma Parinambad or positive impersonalism is a part of the Vedas. Vyasadeva presented it. Parinambad means transformation. Just as milk transforms into yogurt, it's a transformation. Milk is a substance, yogurt also is a substance. Brahma, the spiritual energy, became manifested in the form of material nature. That is parinam, transformation. But Shankaracharya came up with a new theory. That is called the theory of illusion, or Mayavad. And in Sanskrit, it is called Vivartavad. Vivarta, the word Vivarta means what appears to be, but actually it is not. What appears to be something, but actually it is not. For example, the mirage. What does mirage appear to be like? Mirage appears to be like water. But is it water? No. Similarly, a snake, a rope in darkness appears to be like a snake. Is the rope a snake? No. So this is Vivarta, examples of Vivarta. So Shankaracharya's point was that actually whatever it appears in this jagat, material nature, is just an illusion. But Brahman is the satya, the truth. Real thing is Brahman. And everything here is illusion. And he gave that example. And then the question comes, what about the incarnations of the Lord, avatars? So Shankaracharya's point was, this form of the Lord also is Maya. The avatars are also illusory. Brahma is the only absolute truth. And that Brahma is without form, without energy, without variety, without potency, without qualities and characters. nirvikar, nishakti, nirvishesh, etc. So this is the negative impersonalism. Now, can the Lord's form be illusory? Now, what is the mistake Shankaracharya is making? He is saying Brahman is the absolute and that is without any form. Therefore, anything that has a form is material, therefore it's illusory. But what is the actual understanding? The actual understanding that the transcendental form of the Lord is beyond Brahman. Brahman is without form, understandable. It's the energy. Like energy can be without form. You can say with energy doesn't have any form. But the energetic, can you say that the energetic doesn't have form? If you say the energetic doesn't have a form, that will be a mistake. So that's the mistake in that Mayavad concept. Now that has been smashed by Ramanujacharya. Shankaracharya's theory, which was temporary, which was meant to achieve certain objective. So that's why Shankaracharya came. And Ramanujacharya came and he pointed out the mistake in Shankaracharya's presentation and he established personalism in the form of Shankaracharya's theory is called Kevaladvaitavad and Ramanujacharya came and established his Vishishtadvaitavad. The Kevaladvaitavad is the Brahma Sattva Jagan Mitha. Only ultimately everything is Advaita, non-dual. And whatever has variety, whatever has form, whatever has quality and character is material, therefore illusory. So Ramanujacharya defeated that point. He said, fine, in mirage there is no water. But somewhere there is water, therefore you are mistaking the mirage to be water. If there was no water, there was no question of mistaking the mirage to be water. Okay, there is no snake in the rope, but somewhere the snake is existing, that's why you are mistaking the rope to be a snake. So, this may be illusory, these forms may be illusory, these forms may be a mistaken concept, but somewhere the real form is existing, that's why we are mistaking this form to be real. So in this way he established what? This Jagat, beyond Jagat is Brahman, and beyond Brahman is the spiritual reality. And this material nature is a reflection of that spiritual reality. Now, you see the unique thing about Bhagavad Gita, Krishna just in one verse smashes all the points, smashes all those mistakes. Just one verse, Krishna... Just one verse Krishna actually gives the entire knowledge. Just like the existence of soul beyond the body. Did Krishna have to write a big thesis? Krishna just gave one verse. Dehi noshmin yatha dehe komaram jovanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhirastatranam ujjati. Your body is changing from boyhood to youth, childhood to boyhood to youth to old age. Although the body is changing, are you changing? You are not changing. So who are you? Something beyond the body. Therefore, when you won't have the body, you'll continue to exist. Isn't it brilliant? Just two lines. He established the fact. Right? So now Arjuna is asking, that among the personalism and impersonalism, which one is better? Right? And let's see what Krishna has to say. Sri Bhagavan Ubacha, Mayyavesha Mano Jeman, Nitta Yukta Upashate, Shraddhaya Paraye Petaste, Me Yukta Tama Mataha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. So in one verse, Krishna gave the conclusion. Between those two, impersonalist and personalist, who is better? Those who are attracted to me and with faith and devotion, rendering service unto me, those who are expressing their love to me, they are the most perfect. Any questions? Okay. So that's how brilliant Krishna's presentation is. Jetaksharam anirdesham abhyaktam parjupashate sarvatra gam achintacha kutastham achalang dhruvam sanniyastendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhaya te papnuvanti mameva sarvabhuta hiterata. But those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engage in the welfare of all, at last achieve me. At last. That at last means once. What? Huh? After many births, they will become a devotee and then they will achieve him. So that is the meaning of the word at last. So unless and until you become a devotee, there is no hope. So better become a devotee now. Why go through this, all these rigmarole? Then Krishna is making a very, very powerful point. Klesho adhikatara stesham abhyakta shakta chetasham abhyakta hi gatir dukkham dehavad bhir avapate. For those whose minds are attached to unmanifested impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. So now Krishna is giving the clear understanding. So what do you want to do? Become an impersonalist? Huh? Or a devotee? If you become an impersonalist, what will you get? You will get suffering and suffering and more suffering. Klesha means suffering. Adhikatara means increasingly. Adhikatara means very much. Tesham, of them. Abhyakta, to the unmanifested. Ashakta chetasam, those who are attached to the unmanifest. That means impersonal. Manifest and unmanifest. So unmanifest, can you develop a relationship with unmanifest? Can you see the unmanifest? Can you touch the unmanifest? Can you love the unmanifest? So you see you're missing out on everything. So what will you have? You'll have only misery and misery and misery. Klesho adhikatara stesha. More you go in for that, the more miserable you become. So therefore when Krishna says at the end means when they realize that I'm getting only miseries and miseries and misery, let me give it up. When they give up, then only they can understand Krishna. So now how many will opt for impersonalistic way? Those who want, raise your hand. Those who... Oh, one hand went up. I would like to see your face also. Stand up, who raised your hand? Okay. Good girl. And those who don't want, raise both your hands. And say, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna.
Hare, Hare,
Hare, Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama, Rama,
Rama, Rama.
Hare, Hare,
Hare, Hare,
Hare Krishna. So remember this verse, it's very important. Klesha adhikataras tesham, abhyakta shakta chetasham, abhyakta hi gatir dukkham dehavad bhir abhapyate. Jetu sarvani karmani mai sannyasya matparaha ananne naiva yogena mang dhayanta upashate teshamaham samuddhatta mrittu samsara sagarat bhavami na chirat partha maya veshita chetasham. Very good. But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service, and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death.
Mayaiva mana adhatsya mai buddhing niveshaya nivashishyasi mayaiva ata urdhangna shangshaya. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always, without a doubt. So what Krishna is suggesting? Fix your mind to what? Onto Him. Who is He? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. And engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always without a doubt. Atho chittang samadhatung na shaknosi mai sthiram abhyasa yogena tato mamichhatung dhananjaya. My dear Arjun, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. This abhyasa yogena, the practice of devotional service, which is known as sadhana bhakti. So anyway, if you haven't achieved your perfection, then practice devotional service. By practicing, you will achieve perfection.
Abhyase api asamarthosi mat karmo paramo bhava madartham api karmani kurban siddhim abhapsasi.
So Krishna is giving so many options. If you cannot practice the regulations of bhakti yoga, then just try to work for me, because by working for me you will come to the perfect stage.
Athaita dappo shaktosi kartum mad yogam ashritaha sarva karma falatyagam tato kuru jatatmavan.
If, however, you are unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act giving up all results of your work and try to be self-situated. So, see, Krishna is giving one after another option. If you can't do it, okay, then do this. If you can't even work for me, then if you can't work for me, but you want to work for yourself, okay, go ahead, work for yourself. But then, offer the result of your work to me. Now, which one will you prefer to? Only. Whatever the first option. Offer your consciousness, offer your intelligence, offer your everything to Krishna. Which means? L. Addishta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankara samo dukha sukha sakshami santushto satatang yogi jatatma dhrira nishchaya mayar pita mano buddhir jome mad bhakta same priya. One who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed in me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. So what you expected to do? You are expected to be not envious. All right? So you're ready to become non-envious? What is the sign of envy? Do you know what is the definition of envy? Jealousy. Okay, but define it. That's not a definition. That's a synonym. To close, yeah. To desire something that somebody else has. So that desire is envy. Okay, No, greed is not. Archana raised her hand very enthusiastically. Let's hear what Archana has to say. Okay, very good. Archana hit the nail right on the head. To be happy seeing others distress and being distressed in seeing others' happiness. So that is what envy is. So what does it mean to be non-envious then? Being happy in others' happiness and being distressed in... In Sanskrit, that word says paradukha-dukhi. Being distressed, being sad in seeing that others are unhappy. Jashman no dijate loko Lokan ne dijate chaja, harsha marsha bhayod begaid, muktas jasa chame priya. He by whom no one is put into difficulty and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. So do you want to become dear to Krishna?
Yes.
So what do you have to be? By you, no one should be put into difficulty. And who is not disturbed by anyone. You don't cause any disturbance to others, and nor do you become disturbed by others. Who is equipoised in happiness and distress. What is the meaning of not being equipoised? Being happy in happiness and being distressed in distress. Right? So not to be like, in happiness you are happy, in distress also you are happy. Or should it be the other way around? In happiness you are distressed.
अनोपेक्षा सुचिरदक्ष उदासीन गतव्यथ सर्वारंभ परित्यागी जो भक्त जो मद भक्त समय प्रिय. माई डिवोटी हु इज नॉट डिपेंडेंट ऑन द ऑर्डिनरी कोर्स ऑफ एक्टिविटीज हु इज प्योर एक्सपर्ट विदाउट केयर्स फ्री फ्रॉम ऑल पेन्स एंड नॉट स्ट्राइविंग फॉर सम रिजल्ट इज वेरी डियर टू मी. जो न रिष्यति न द्वेष्टि न सोचति न कांक्षति शुभाशुभ परित्यागी भक्तिमान जा समय प्रिय. वन हु नाइदर रिजॉयसेस नॉर ग्रीव्स हु नाइदर लैमेंट्स नॉर डिजायर्स एंड हु रिनाउंसेस बोथ ऑस्पिशियस एंड इनऑस्पिशियस थिंग्स सच ए डिवोटी इज वेरी डियर टू मी. समो शत्रौ च मित्रे च तथा मानपो मानयो शीतस्न सुख दुखेषु सम संग विवर्जितः तुल्य निंदा स्तुतिर मौनी संतुष्ट जेन केनचित अनेकेत स्थिरम अतिर भक्तिमान मे प्रियो नरः. आई एम सीइंग दैट समवन इज वेरी लर्नेड वेरी गुड. Brinda and her, Brinda is very now, very bright girl. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who does not care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. Jetu dharmam ritamidam jathoktam parjupashate shraddhana mat parama bhaktaste tiva me priyaha. Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. They are very, not only very dear to me, they are very, very dear to me. And those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service. Which path you are following? The imperishable path of devotional service. It will never come to an end. It's eternal. And who completely engage themselves in with faith, making me the supreme goal. For all their activities, who is the supreme goal? Krishna. They are very, very dear to Krishna. Do you want to become dear to Krishna?
Yes.
Very good. Okay, very, very dear to Krishna. So, in this way, see how nicely Krishna is instructing. Is there any reason for Krishna to lie? Is there any reason for Krishna to say something just for the sake of saying it? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we must take His words with all earnestness, with all sincerity. Now see why this 12th chapter is so important. And you can see that Vrinda, how old is Vrinda? 10 years. I thought you were 6. Now it's joking. See, Vrinda memorized the 12th chapter completely. You remember the 7th also? How many other chapters you memorized? Just read it every day. Which chapter? 12th chapter? Maybe your mother can tell what happens when one reads 12th chapter every day. When one reads 12th chapter every day, he receives Krishna prema. He becomes a devotee of Krishna. So read this 12th chapter every day. Now we know the secret of Vrinda's devotion.
Hare Krishna. So, any question? Yeah, Rishi? Yeah, take the mic. The mic is not working.
Sorry, Maharaj, I have three questions. Firstly, it talks about not doing harm to others. Or, in our service, when we're working, say you're working in an investment bank, and by nature of success of your job, you have to cause distress and harm to others. Very results orientated, so successful job is from that. How are we to interpret that?
Or how we justify that? Well, when something is done with all good intention, then it is not harmful. Like for example, a doctor is cutting open somebody. Right? Now, is the doctor being harmful to him? Although he's causing him some pain, but he's not actually harming him. This act is actually to benefit him. So similarly, a devotee sometimes may appear to have done something, you know, hurt somebody or did something, you know, like say for example, Arjuna is killing his relatives. But that killing is not harming them, but benefiting them.
Also, it talks about, on the ultimate platform, we should always be thinking of Krishna. And then subsequent steps, it says, if you can work for Krishna with consciousness of Krishna, how is that different from the highest platform where you engage?
Yeah. One is out of love, and the other is out of duty. You're working because out of your duty you're doing that. Right? But when you are doing it out of love, then you are always thinking of. Then you see, that's the nature of love. When you love somebody, then you want to think about that person all the time. So when we love, when you develop that love for Krishna, we can't help but think about Krishna all the time.
And so final question is, it says you will live in Krishna. What does that mean to live in Krishna?
Live in Krishna means live with Krishna. In the spiritual sky. Yes, Chandrasekhar?
What does it mean to not be... What does it mean, Guru, not to be dependent on the ordinary course of activities?
Yeah. That is mainly means that depending upon your own ability. Don't depend upon your own ability. The ordinary course of activity. Like, because if I do this, then this will be the result. And rather depend upon Krishna. Okay, who has this? Yeah, Radharani. Shankaracharya.
Yes, because all Buddha rejected the Vedas. So what I was trying to understand was, did the theory of illusion exist in the Vedas for me to turn it into philosophy? Because if he created a Vivartavad philosophy, then it meant that it had to exist in the Vedas for people to follow the Vedas. Otherwise,
no.
They would have rejected it.
No, it is not existing in Veda. He created that. It says that he's saying Mayavadam Achachatram Prachanna Bodham Uchate Mayaiva Bihitang Devi Kalo Brahmana Murtina. He's telling Parvati, Lord Shiva is telling Parvati that in the age of Kali, appearing in a Brahmana family, I will establish a temporary conclusion. an asat shastra. Asat means temporary, non-real thing. Like he concocted one, derived one conclusion of the Veda, which is not the right conclusion. He came to establish the Vedic scriptures, not the Vedic conclusion as such. He knew that he won't be able to establish the Vedic conclusion because Buddhism is totally opposed to that. Right? Buddhism has developed in defiance to Vedas. Nindashi Jagga Bideraha Shruti Jatang. The Jagga Bidhi, which has generated from Shruti, Vedas, Buddha came. To blaspheme, to reject. So in order to do that, he had to reject the Vedas. So now Vedas have been rejected. Now this point has been clarified in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ved na maniya bodho hoilo nastik. The Buddhists, because they do not follow the Vedas, they are atheists, nastik. And so, he came to establish the Vedas, but he had to say the similar thing to what Buddha said. If what he said was totally different, then Buddhists will reject that. Oh, that is your theory. You keep it to yourself. Don't come to us. We are fine. Right? But what Shankaracharya did, Shankaracharya said, look, you are saying this. That's wrong. You are saying Nirvana. And you are saying Nirvana means to merge into nothing. But it's a Nirvana actually is a Vedic concept. It means to merge into Brahman. So ultimate goal of life is to merge into Brahman. And Brahman is. So he is saying to merge into nothing, and Shankaracharya is defining Brahman as nothing. So if it is nirakar, if it doesn't have any form, if it doesn't have any shape, if it doesn't have any potency, if it doesn't have any quality, if it doesn't have any variety, then what it is? It's nothing. So this is how he tricked them. Yes, Preeti. Was that Shankaracharya?
Glorifies Radha Krishna.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, Shankaracharya is a pure devotee of the Lord, no doubt about that. Actually, I had it all prepared, you know, like, I was about to make a movie on Shankaracharya. But, you know, I got involved in this Ujjain project and I couldn't do that. This has been taken from Shankaracharya's most intimate disciple. His anecdote, his account of Shankaracharya, the script was based on his writing. And you'll see Shankaracharya is an out-and-out devotee. From his childhood, he is worshipping Krishna. All along, he had been a devotee of Krishna. He never said what Mayavad is, actually. He presented it in such a way to defeat the Buddhists that a lot of people got bewildered. Shankaracharya is a brilliant personality. He grew up, you know, next to a Krishna temple. He used to visit there every day on the bank of the Ganges. He used to take bath and go to the temple. And look at his writing. There is a writing of Shankaracharya. It is called Vivek Churamani, right. Vivek Churamani. It's a pure glorification of Krishna, Govinda. Pure glorification. And Shankaracharya also made the point, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Mudha Mati. Yes, yeah, you had your hand. So when, yeah, that is, love means one who has pure devotion to Krishna. Love is pure devotion.
And because in the 17th verse it says, such devotee is dear to me. That means that there are all other degrees of devotion.
Like say, when Krishna is saying that you offer your work to me, that means he is talking about karma yoga. So he is also a devotee, but karma mishra bhakta. There are three types of, generally there are, you can say, two types of devotees. Mixed devotees and pure devotees. The mixed devotees again are of two kinds. Those who are mixed with the desire for fruitive activity and those who are mixed with the desire for knowledge. They are also bhaktas, but they are called mishra bhaktas.
Actually, the association of the last one,
best is to associate with pure devotees of Krishna. If you have that opportunity, associate with a pure devotee.
Thank you.
Yes, Narayan.
Guru Maharaj, I have two questions. Krishna said, work for me, offer your intelligence and mind to me. Doesn't mean you have to live in the temple. And question two, he said, otherwise you work and the result you offer to me. Does mean what part of the salary you have to offer to Krishna?
Well, it is not a matter of external situation. It is your internal feelings, internal attachment. Right? Was Arjun living in a temple? So it's not a... But you can make a classification that way. A pure devotee is one who is living in the temple. Karma Mishra Bhaktas, those who are congregation devotees. No, it's not like that. It's your intensity of your love. Hare Krishna. Yes, Dina?
Sukadeva Goswami, he's the parrot of Radharani in the spiritual world. So how is it that he was a Brahmavadi?
Yeah. You see, when one comes to material nature, he becomes covered by ignorance. Everyone, even Brahma, he was in ignorance. Right? So, janmana jayate shudra, whenever one takes birth in a material nature, he is born into ignorance. But then, by the process of purification, he becomes enlightened. So, you see what happened? He was an associate of Krishna. But when he came to this material nature, that memory was interrupted. But then it was revived again.
Hare Krishna. Quite similar to the point that you want to make. When I was in Udipi, in South India, I was studying some from the Madras and Bahrains. They say when they read the Srimad Bhagavatam, they don't read the Brahma Mohana Lila, because they say, how can the head of the Sampradaya can be ignored, can be fooled by Krishna, in one sense. So, when we say that it's possible the Brahma also get entangled in ignorance.
Yeah, the thing is that anybody can be influenced by Krishna's Yogamaya. Right? The thing is, are we absolute? Even though we may be the Sampradaya Acharya, but we are not absolute. So, Krishna can make anybody anything. Yes, Jadurani.
Hare Krishna Gaurav. And how can we ensure that when we do devotional service, it's not for our own pleasure, it's for Krishna's pleasure?
How can I ensure that? By ensuring that you are not doing it for your pleasure. You do it for Krishna. Like, are you the enjoyer? Are you the enjoyer? Okay, so who is the enjoyer? And who are you? Okay, so when a servant serves, does he do it for his pleasure? So if you have a servant at home, when he cooks, does he cook for according to his pleasure or your pleasure? Whose pleasure? So if you are Krishna's servant, then for whom should you cook? So that's how you ensure that whatever you're doing is for Krishna's pleasure.
We also derive pleasure, though, from doing this service for Krishna. Is that wrong?
Well, it is as long as it is with centered around Krishna, it's okay. Right? If it is devoid of Krishna, then the problem starts. Like you're serving Krishna, you're doing it for Krishna's pleasure, and then by doing that you are deriving pleasure, that's all right. But you know, you're doing it in the name of Krishna, but it's for your sake. You are thinking, oh, I like this chutney with samosa. No, that's why the feeling should be, it must be done for Krishna's pleasure. That's how you ensure it.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Sharda? Give it to her.
Who desires the soul or something else? Who is gives the illusion?
To begin with, who is that something else?
My intelligent soul, Savior.
Can the mind work without the soul?
No.
Can intelligence work without the soul? Can false ego work without the soul? So who is doing everything?
So it's the soul, but I'm not sure. So who else is doing it?
You see, the soul is the original, but when the soul is identifying himself with the body, then it's the false ego, intelligence, mind. Yes, Hemagori?
Many times some people have other beliefs. They tell us that they are very egoistic and say that only Krishna believers will go to the ultimate abode. And what is the final destination of people like Christians and Muslim beliefs and other gurus and other devotees? What's going to be the final destination?
If they all are talking about Krishna, then they are also fine.
No, but Krishna is obviously talking about Jesus Christ.
Who is Krishna? Who is Krishna?
Father of Jesus Christ.
The Supreme Personality of God. Yeah? Who Jesus is talking about. So if you are a follower of Christ, Jesus Christ, then who are you going to follow? Who are you going to approach? If you are following Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ spoke about Krishna, then who are you following?
Krishna, but they don't believe.
That's their problem. If you go and tell the prisoner that surrender unto the king, Right? Now, if the prisoner says that somebody else told me to surrender unto the minister or surrender unto the jailer, surrender unto the prison warden, will it work? There is only one person who can release them from the prison, the king. Right? So that is the reality. The King of Kings is Krishna. And to follow His law is the only way by which we can get out of the prison house of material nature. Those who don't, bad luck. They may believe so many things, but if that belief is not right, will it work? If you believe, say, this room has one door, just one door, there. But if you believe that there is a door there and start moving there, will you ever be able to get out of this room? So that's how it is. There's only one way out. So we have to find out who is giving us the right direction. If somebody says, no, the door is here, door is there, door is there, we may believe that door is there, but it don't work. Now you may say that, well, I believe in him. That's why I said bad luck. You're believing a person who is in ignorance. Or you didn't understand your Messiah, your teacher. He actually also said the door is there. What makes you think that the door is here? When he says the door is there. He's saying, God the Father, one person. Follow him. Now follow him. Now your problem is, I'm talking about their problem is, that they are not following him. That's why Prabhupada would always hammer. You are saying that you are the followers of Jesus. Then why aren't you following Jesus? He said, thou shalt not kill. Why are you killing? Thou shalt not kill. Why should you kill? So that shows you are not following him. So your problem is you are not following him. Okay, last question. Okay, last two questions. But even the eternally liberated souls need to get initiated.
Is it Yoga Maya then or Mahamaya that covers them?
Obviously, since they are pure devotees, they are under Yoga Maya. They come, you see, pure devotees come with a purpose assigned by Krishna. Pure devotees don't come due to the karmic reaction. Therefore, they are not under Mahamaya. They are always under Yoga Maya. But, just as, you know, even Krishna takes initiation. Why? Because that is how one needs to get free from the coverings of Maya. I mean, that is how one needs to come to the situation of spiritual platform.
Shukadeva Goswami is becoming a Brahmavadi, a Leela.
Yeah. It seems, Janmana Jayata Sudra, by birth everyone is in ignorance. But these souls, they're not in ignorance, they're in Brahma Jyoti. You see, when they are not in pure Krishna consciousness, until that point, they're in Brahma Jyoti. Or in Brahman realization stage. Yes, Priti?
You see in Bhagavad Gita Krishna is explaining the progressive action that you can't follow on, then do this, and then you can't do this. So in text 11, Krishna actually says, if you're unable to work in the consciousness of you and try to act even at the results of your work. And then in text 12, he says, if you want to take this practice and engage yourself in cultivation of knowledge, further knowledge is meditation, further meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. So I wanted to see if you could explain the difference between, I mean, text 12 where he's saying the renunciation of the fruits of action and in 11 where he's saying results of your work. So it's
results of your works is acting for Krishna's pleasure, right? And offering fruits of action is acting for your pleasure, but offering the fruits of the actions too. Like whatever the ultimate benefit, offer it to Krishna. Whereas the other one is you're acting for Krishna. See, one is result and the other is fruit. Sounds like the same because result is the fruit. But we have to see the difference. Like the difference is the purpose of the activity. Where that expression result has been used, the purpose of that action or work is to please Krishna. Whereas in this one, the next one, is the purpose of the action is our own pleasure. We want to do that. That's why we are doing it. We are not doing it for Krishna. But we are offering the fruits of that to Krishna. Yes?
Krishna Maharaj, so when we're talking about the fruits of our labor, so that going to this our salary?
That what?
Could it be understood as our salary if we work?
Yeah, if you think that is the fruit.
So how much would you suggest, or how much is
worth? As much as your heart wants. So to the extent you offer to Krishna, to that extent you can be rest assured that to that extent Krishna will reward you. That's what it is like. You see, our false ego, our envy, or our greed tends to keep things for ourselves. But then, you know, you get the taste that by offering to Krishna, it multiplies. Now, generally we think that if we offer it to Krishna, then we'll lose it. But in this case, it works in a different way. You offer it to Krishna, it multiplies. You don't lose. And that actually enables us or allures us to offer more and more to Krishna. And ultimately what you'll have to offer? Not only the full salary. Ultimately you have to offer yourself. Right? When you have offered, the first you start offering that is of you. And then finally you offer yourself to Krishna. And that is the ultimate culmination.
That what Amrish Maharaj did.
Huh?
That what Amrish Maharaj did.
Yes. Yes, Ojeshwi. Is it? Huh? No, that's not true. One must treat the spiritual master as if non-different. But spiritual master is spiritual, jiva, and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Spiritual master never becomes Krishna. Do you see the difference? What did you say first?
The spiritual master represents the pure.
That's what you said at first?
No.
What did you say?
He's like Krishna, but he's not
Okay, so you understood the difference now. Okay.
So my question is, if we have a relation of air and reverence with the spiritual master, is it possible to get the pure love of Krishna in the relation? It's not, in a sense, it's not different. Spiritual master is not different from Krishna in this sense.
Okay, let's put it this way. That you want to buy something from some company. And there is a representative of the company. Right? So if you approach the representative, you will get the product of the company. Right? So that is it. If the spiritual master is a bona fide representative, then yes, you will get the product of the company. All right? Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanande Hare Hare.